There is an estimated 1,500 bacteria per square centimeter of skin on your hand. Did you know that? One of the best ways to prevent bacteria-related illnesses and other infectious diseases, right, is to wash our hands with soap and water. Germs, such as bacteria and viruses, are microscopic and not always readily visible to the naked eye. They can be found on everyday objects that we use, like cell phones and shopping carts, and toothbrushes, toilets, and even the handling of raw meat. And they can be transferred from coughing and sneezing and contaminated objects and even contact with pets to cause disease if we don't wash our hands. So in this gospel today, we have a group of religious leaders very concerned that Jesus and his disciples are having a meal and appear to be skipping the ritual of ceremonial hand washing. You have to kind of wonder then, in his reaction, what is really going on here? At first glance, you think, come on, Jesus, why are you giving these people such a hard time? Hand washing is good for you. Just do it. And then we learn that this hand washing is unrelated to personal hygiene. Jews were expected to perform this ritual hand washing, even if you had washed your hands and they were clean. So this is a ritual of washing your hands after you've washed your hands. And it would accompany a special blessing of the hands and bread in this ritual called the Nedelet Yadayim. It includes a prayer, and the prayer says this: Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us concerning the washing of hands. And so Jesus is not objecting here to personal hygiene, hand washing, but perhaps a deeper notion, a deeper concept of washing the hands that are symbolized in this ritual. You see, because in our American culture, we have taken the phrase, I'm washing my hands, and turned it into an idiom. We say things like, I'm washing my hands of you. I'm washing my hands of it. As a way sometimes to absolve ourselves or distance ourselves from one another, from our responsibilities, or the problems that we face. And not because we are bad people, but because sometimes we just feel overwhelmed. We don't quite know what to do. We're overwhelmed by a problem or a person or a situation, and we just don't know what to do. This weekend is Labor Day, and we celebrate honoring working people in the U.S. It is a creation of the labor movement, and it's dedicated to the social and economic achievements of American workers. It's a time to celebrate and reflect on all the work that each of you do to bring God's vision alive in the world in each of your different settings. So whether you're a nurse or a doctor or a factory worker or a teacher or a mechanic or a counselor or a realtor or a parent, your work is valuable and necessary in God's plan for the world. And it is the contribution of workers that have made our country great. It's the contribution of workers that have made it strong and that's contributed to its well-being. And yet, none of it would be possible if workers, when they saw a problem that needed to be addressed, simply said, I wash my hands of this. I'm going to leave it to someone else. This week, our mayor saw a problem in our city, in our police department, and she could have decided to just wash her hands of it, let somebody else deal with it, but she didn't. She did something about the experience of police brutality in this community for black males that have been plaguing our community for years. That act of courage will not only strengthen our police force, where the majority of our officers are amazing people doing great work, but it will also strengthen police community relationships for both groups and bring about healing. So Jesus here isn't just concerned about the washing of hands in its traditional sense. He's calling on us to pay attention to what is coming forth from our hearts as we think about the world. In the late 1970s and late 1980s, you may remember that plant closings spread throughout the nation, unprecedented in its scope, accompanied by permanent high joblessness, declining middle class, an economy whose best days were in its past. In California in particular, automobile manufacturing, lumber, paper mills, food processing, and steel industries were affected. The closings brought about a frenzy of state and government action and programs in 1982. However, it was not these actions really and these programs that revived places like Fontana, that eventually was able to build new economies after having such a devastating blow. How did they do it? This city decided not to wash its hands of the possibility of having a thriving economy again, but they relied on the people and their ingenuity. Fontana's approach was to invite companies and leaders to come and sit down at the table, and they said, "Let us work things out." Working with organized labor, this city rebounded, and it is flourishing today by using very non-traditional methods. So in the gospel, the religious leaders want Jesus to be more traditional in his approach. But sometimes it's the non-traditional approach that we're called to use in solving the problems we face. Jesus knew that saying a blessing over the hands wasn't enough, that they actually needed to put in the work of inclusion, of healing, of compassion, of liberation for others. In fact, it's the very reason Jesus called the disciples to follow him in the work of attending to the pain and the suffering in the world. And so Jesus responds back to the challenge of the religious leaders, and he says from Isaiah, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching its doctrines, human precepts." But Jesus here is saying that he's more interested in their hearts than what they're focusing on about what they do with their hands, because he understood the connection between the work we're called to do in the world and the necessity of following the passion that God puts in our heart. So Jesus instead invites the religious leaders, and I think he invites us today, to ponder the thought whether washing their hands to maintain traditional ways of engaging the world is enough. Or is God calling us to go beyond our past responses, our past reactions, our past traditional ways of engaging the problems we see? This week, I had the opportunity to be part of a town hall meeting with Lee Wright as a response to a controversy around his Fringe Festival show coming up in September. On social media, several members of a local social justice group reacted to images advertising the show that included an all-white choir and a picture of black hands in chains, with the goal of introducing Negro spirituals to an audience in a paid venue. The group wanted the show shut down, and they threatened to boycott it. They hurled accusations of cultural appropriation, lack of accountability to communities of color, re-traumatization from images that reinforce white power over black bodies, and their legacy of songs that were birthed out of the experience of oppression. This Facebook thread, when it was done, had over 350 comments, with black members of the group demanding a conversation. These two sides had every excuse and every reason they could have thought of to wash their hands of each other, but they didn't. They came together for a conversation. And one young man at the meeting said, "I hear you saying that white people will benefit from this event, but how are black people in this community going to benefit from this event? How are black youth going to benefit from this? What about the black youth who are descendants of this history?" And as they began to talk at each other, I posed the question in the room as it began to get tense. And I asked the room to consider and reconsider, actually, using the us versus them paradigm. Given that our ancestors were forced to sing those songs of Negro spirituals because they were relegated from a social position to an us versus them. And I asked the room, do we want to perpetuate that in addressing this problem? It was a hard conversation. It was painful. It was tense. But I watched them hang in there with each other until they came to a compromise. Instead of washing their hands of each other, they washed their hearts with one another, seeking understanding until they got to a better place. The decision they made was to take away the entrance price for the show and to offer preferential seating to Black people who attended the show. They did the arduous work of unclean hands and produced hearts that were washed in God's love for one another. And so when we choose to wash our hands of each other, Jesus says, we place our lips in one place and our hearts in another. And he's calling on them to come together. Jesus knows that if we're going to truly make the world better, that what we say we believe and what we do with that belief has to be one in the same, aligned. Jesus is teaching them something here greater than ritual. The religious leaders missed it, what Jesus was doing with his disciples. He's not only teaching them something greater than ritual, but he's teaching them something more powerful than tradition. He's teaching them how to engage the problems of life in a way that we can serve one another better. And that is about more than what we take into our bodies, but it's about what we give out to one another. Jesus's teachings on kindness and compassion and courage and liberation is what changes and transforms our world. And it wasn't just for this time in this gospel. It is for all times. It is for our time. And when we miss that, we're stuck with a disconnect of heart. And Jesus names that disconnect in this gospel. He says, instead of good thoughts, we're left with evil ones, fearful, bad thoughts about each other that don't serve us in a world that needs more from us. We are left with more violence and less peace inside and outside. And that's the litany that Jesus runs to the religious leaders at the end of this gospel when they challenge him. If we wash our hands, we cannot experience the humility and the celebration of difference that so deeply enriches us. So we come to church every week and we take in the message of social justice for the poor, the oppressed, and the marginalized. It is not lost on me that in this gospel, Jesus too is sitting at the table at having a meal, nourishing his disciples, just as we are nourished here at this table every week. But what is more powerful than what we come to receive is what we do with it when we go out, not just what we fill up on. And we have borne witness to that miracle. Because what has come out of us, Spiritus Christi, as a result of our weekly nourishing, our weekly feeding, our weekly message, and what we have been able to take in? What has come out of us is prison outreach ministries, a recovery house, a mental health center, buddy readers, missions in Haiti, Chiapas, an anti-racism team that's working to install a civil rights park and to help Black families in one of the poorest communities in our city get to zero on racial disparities. This Saturday, we're going to kick off the Civil Rights Park community-wide celebration and fundraiser that the community will work together with to provide music and food and fun from 12 to 6 while we address this problem in our community. And sometimes we're being called to look past what it looks like now and see what God is trying to do in our hearts for those in need. And that's the point that Jesus is making in this gospel today with the religious leaders and what he's making with us. You see, Jesus never washed his hands. Jesus never washed his hands of the suffering of our world. He didn't do it then, and he's asking us not to do it now.